Okay, Rabbi Sam, we're going to speed up a little bit because there's some interesting halachas this week. We'll be talking about the right hanhoga. This week we'll be talking a little bit, what does a person do when he's fasting? What's the right approach? We're going to be talking also a little bit about what happens if a person or a community fasts for a particular purpose, and that purpose is not relevant anymore. And also, various lashonos of shavuos as well will be discussed. I also want to get to the topic, perhaps, who exactly is the whole siman in Tovkuf Ayin Aleph, discuss who actually needs to take a fast on himself, and what happens if somebody doesn't want to talk on himself fast. So all this, as well as other halachas, will be discussed by Hashem. Okay, we are up to Siman Tov Kuf Samachas. We are in Seif Zayin. Seif Zayin says the following: She'ira Yoyim Shemeis Aviva Imoy Bado. What happens if somebody's yard side is Nado? Is your yard side? Do I remember that correctly? That's exactly the question now. So She'ira Yoyim Shemeis Aviva Imoy Badar V'Hashanah Meuberes. What happens if somebody's got a yard side in the month of Adar and it's a leap year? Muberes. Pardon? You've got it as well. So what do you do? It was the leap year when, so that's quite straightforward. So what do you do then? So if it's a leap year, you're going to do the same. He or she was nifter in other. Really?
First other.
And it was both in leap years? That's interesting, very interesting. So obviously if it's a leap year, you're going to keep the outside in the first order. And I suppose if it's not a leap year, you've got no choice. It's going to be in the order. But it was also a leap year, same as this, right? What happens?
Where's the minhag to kind of fast on your side? Some people have the kiddush on your side.
Yeah, l'chaim. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so the answer to your question, we'll be discussing that shortly, Mitzvah Shem. Mishnah Bussiv Kot Mem Dalet is also crucial for your question. The answer is because there's an element of tshuva and kapara by fasting. So a person fasts, like a person will say throughout the whole first year, any kapara is mishkoba, as a kapara for the misa of one's parent. So Tanis goes in line with that. What historically happened was that people did fast, and there are still plenty of people who do fast on the yard side of a parent. Those who don't, and the Mikel Echaim is, what happened was that it was difficult for them to fast out the whole fast. Instead of that, they made a siyum, or any other particularly, often a siyum, or not, and that would, a bit like we do on Tanis Bechoyres. So the siyum would exempt the person from fasting, as well as and a lot of people, of course, do a genuine siyum on the outside. Siyum shnayis is very common. So therefore, that cancels the fast day. So what happened at times, people forgot the ikkar and only took the tofen, and just partying without it being a kind of siyum, I suppose, is a minik which is a tzorich b'dika a little bit. I don't know about that. Interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. So Shulchan Aruch discusses k'she'ira yoyim shemeis avirim u'badav v'ashonam u'beres. So what if it's in a vice versa, not in your scenario, but he was nifta in a regular year, but the subsequent year is a leap year. When do you keep the outside? First order or second order? Both. You're going to do both. Based on what? Because it's a Mishnebu is gonna, because it's a suffix, so you wanna get it right. Yeah. So the question is, what is really the real Adar? What is the real Adar? One is more than the other. And I have a proof for that. Yeah, and I have a proof. What happens in Adar on the 15th of Adar? Right. Which Adar do we keep Purim? A second, the Gemara says, because Mitzvah Chilul Le'ula, we have to combine the Geula of Esther And Matcha, we connect that with the Geula of Pesach. So it's always going to be the second Adar. So the Gemara says, you always keep Purim on the second Adar. So what does that seem to indicate? That the real Adar is the second Adar, and the first Adar is a squeezed in one. So we actually add to month, the Adarishni is the added one, and the real Adar is the Adar Sheni. Therefore, according to the Yotzat Shaila, what would we, in the Yotzat Shaila, what would make sense to keep? Second Adar. So, Ksheero Yoim Shemes of Yoim Batav Hashem Ubez is Ane Bador Sheni, that's the Pasha of Shulchan Aruch, that you keep in, you keep the Yotzat and Adar Sheni. Vyesh Oim says Ane Berish, and the Ramah says, yeah, hold on a sec, it's not obvious. Maybe you're going to keep the first Adar. There is reason to say that Adorishin is the month you keep the Yahrzeit. Im lo yishmeis b'shanos ibu be'adorsheni to osna again is anos b'shanos. Unless it's your case, if it's your case, obviously you're going to v'chen amenig le'sanos b'reshin. The minig is to have the Yahrzeit in Adorishin miyesh machmim. Some are stringent. That's precisely the yuchum that you're referring to. Some have the stringency is anos b'shneim to fast on both days, or in other words, you keep the Yahrzeit on both. Rabbi Isai, I think I may have mentioned it. There's a stir about that in Mishneh Berurah earlier. Did mention that it's a bit of a stir in Mishneh Berurah how we pasken, and I think that's probably yeah. If a person can keep both your tithes and both others, that's great. In a case that it was nifta in Rabbi Isai, the Mizilim sing Mishneh Berurah over here, and I. The Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Mem Beis and bottom two lines of the first column speaks about the following. Right, the bottom line. Similar to this shaila, it is the following shaila. If somebody doesn't know, Yoim Shemeis by Aviv or Imoy. If somebody doesn't know when the yard side of his parents actually is, Yivroi lo Yom Echad, you should choose one day. Ach on Liasik Gvul Achayim, but don't pick a day that is anywhere already 16 people saying Kaddish on that day. You know, that's like the day that everybody's arguing for Kaddish. So don't pick that day. Okay, just don't pick that day. Take a random week in the middle of. Ach lo Yasik Gvul Achayim lo Yom Kaddish. Right, this is an important mashallah boy say. He said over here, if a person doesn't know when his parent was nifta, choose a random day. Just don't make a machloikas in town. Just choose a random. Now, it may sound like a very far-fetched, like who on earth doesn't know the outside of his parent? Pardon? Yeah, there was millions of people, literally millions of people. So, my grandparents, you know, they had spouses, parents, children, who were perished and murdered in the war, and they literally picked the day that they kept as a. I just saw the Shambas, I picked up again, have a home, and maybe I should have brought it. I have a Slichas at home. Slichas, which was printed in 1945. Slichas, which was created by the Rabbonim, a Bezdin Le'inyonei Agunas, specially designated Bezdin, which was established after the war. For the Agunas out there. And it was 1945 and 46 when all these Nebuch, these millions of survivors. And over there, they make a Tanis in Chof Zimun. I think you mentioned it, Taki, last week. Chof Zimun was established as a date that they should make a fast. And then in the first couple of pages, there's instructions in there. It says, you know, if you don't know when your close ones who were murdered in the war, pick a day. He said, but if you have any aiders, if you have any testimonies when they stood by the lines, all instructions. If it was in Bergen-Belsen and it was on this line, you should assume that it was the day after. If it was in Auschwitz and it was on that line, then you can assume it was the same day even. Incredible. And he said, but otherwise, if you have no knowledge whatsoever, then just pick a random day and that should be the answer and you should fast, etc. So yes, it was a very common shaila indeed. Now, with regards to the yard side, is it the day that the person is nifta or the day a person is buried? Nifta. The day of the fast, or in other words, the day of the yahrzeit, is only elam yom shemisas aviv v'loy b'yom kvur. It's the day that the person was nifta, and not the person. No, the day was the person was buried. There is a bit of a controversy with regards to the first year. Yeah. So the first year, it could be that the year finishes after the year of the Kavua. But the nice thing, in terms of Yahrzeit, we keep the Yahrzeit. Yahrzeit has to be kept or in terms of the Yom Misas. Right, okay. Rabbi says, if Tessim, Ere Yom Misas Oviv B'Shabbos B'Rosh Chodesh. What happens if somebody's Yahrzeit is on Shabbos B'Rosh Chodesh? What happens then? Yahrzeit. Shabbos B'Rosh Chodesh, what do you do then? In terms of if you have a minute to fast, that's what you do. You skip it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say skip it. He says Yitchel Emoch, you push it off for a subsequent day. So you're going to fast on Sunday. Hagar says the Ramah, page 90 on top. That's not a minute. Elo in Misan in Klal. That's what you were saying. Skip the fast. Similarly, on the days that there's no Tachanon, you will not fast. Rabbi said, let's get this clear. Shulchan Aruch says, if the Yahrzeit falls on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, you push it off to the next day. That's the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. Rama disagrees and says, no, it's cancelled. You don't fast that particular year. Yeah, it's quite, yeah. Yeah. He said, yeah, like on a Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov, yeah. Yeah, so according to Ramah, indeed.
Why can't you do it? What's so bad on
doing it? I suppose the answer to that question is that there's no point doing it on a different day, because the whole idea of a Yahrzeit is to. It's the kapara of us on that very day.
You shouldn't be fasting. You should be celebrating
with cake instead. Yeah, I suppose there is no point fasting if it's not. Yeah. Now there is a bit of a discussion. What does it mean? Any day that there is no Tachanun, you shouldn't fast. I mean, what's the day you don't say Tachanun, and it would seem all right that you could fast?
Tu B'Shvat.
Tu B'Shvat. It's interesting you're mentioning Tu B'Shvat. That's really interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Yom Ha'atzmaut. Yeah, I just read something about Yom Ha'atzmaut. That's a man is all there. There are days which is like you're saying, like Ba'oima Isulchak, which is not so poshut that you shouldn't fast. The Mishnah movie asks, what about is it only with regards to close relatives? What about his Rebbe Muvik? What about his main Rebbe? He's really, really his main Rebbe that Roiv Chochmosay Hemenu. That is, most of his chokhmah comes from him. Would you need to fast on such a day? We don't really have that concept so much nowadays. Rabbi Mubuk. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in Tzivkot Mem Vav, Toibles Anus Yom Shemes Be Rabbi Mubuk. Yes, on a day that your Rabbi Mubuk was nifted, that's Kichai Bichvoid Yosim Bichvoid Ovev. The Gemara says, your Rebbe brings you to Olam Haba. Your father brings you to Olam Hazeh. But your Rebbe brings you to Olam Haba. So there is an argument that you should fast on that day. What is Rabbi Muvik? What's Rabbi Muvik? How do you define Rabbi Muvik? Roiv Chochmos Hemenu. Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that Roiv, the majority of your Chochmah comes from. We don't really have this nowadays so much. This is a little bit outdated. We nash a bit from this person, we nash a bit from that person, and we nash a bit from so many. We don't really have a Rabbi Muvik in the conventional sense. The only ones that could argue that they have Rabbi Muvik are the real Chassidim, I think. Now, what do you think? I think that a real, real Chassid who is really, really feels that he's completely. I think there's an argument.
Well, are people brought up in out of town places where there's one Melamed who teaches them everything?
Yeah, if it. Yeah. Yeah. It's quite uncommon nowadays. It's quite uncommon nowadays. But for instance, the Chazon Ish, he learned until he was Bar Mitzvah, only learned from his father. Everything he knew was from his father. Was an outstanding Talmud Chacham in his own right. But yeah, then you could argue this is Rabbi Muvik. There are people who I don't like that Torah so much. It's a nice Torah, but I don't like it. It's a sweet thought that it's the Aleph Beis Rebbe that may be the Aleph Beis Rebbe who may be the Rabbi Muvik. Why? Yeah, if you don't know the Aleph Beis, you get it quite stuck. So someone has say that the Aleph Beis Rebbe may be qualified as I'm not sure. Some say, but it's not because it's not really Roif Chochma. It just enables you to learn Roif Chochma, but it's not really Roif Chochma. But yeah, so that's that.
What about God
Lador? God Lador says yes. So there is. Poskim will say, so Poskim say that Gadol HaDor may be qualified as a Rechmaz, even if you never talked to him in your life. So, I remember when Rabbi Yashi was nifta, many people wanted to say that he may be Ramavuk. But you know, it's the problem is that nowadays it's very hard, it's a sad generation, it's very hard to find one Gadol who is undisputedly, is that the word? The Gadol HaDor. I mean, you're not going to find anybody, let's not mention any names, you're always going to find some minority who's going to hold, no way.
But what's the face upon which we say that an outstanding leader of the generation is a great mover? If it's someone you have to have had to learn...
Yeah, so in the times of the...
In
the times of the Gemara, and many, many centuries after that, he was literally one person in the shtetl, for centuries he was like that, he was one person that would bring up the kids. He had normally a group, depending on the size of the community, the size of the shtibel, or as it used to be called, the klois, used to be the klois. And there was a melamed, and there's loads of halachas about in Shulchan Aruch, and he would be one individual that would take a group of kids, they were sometimes 3 years old, and sometimes there was a combination of 3, 5, and 7 years old, and would learn together. They learned together, and they would get together, and would get every week to get wage from the father if you could afford it. And you would bring them one stage to the next stage. It was sometimes a bit of a challenge. How would you get a 3-year-old to learn with a 7-year-old? How do you get a 7-year-old to learn with an 11-year-old? How do you get an 11-year-old to learn with a 14-year-old? So there was challenges, but I suppose that's a pedagogic skill that they must have developed. Perhaps that's where the stick came from, I'm not sure. Yeah. But that's right. That's right. But yeah, it was not offset, but you had the parents' wage coming directly on Friday. So I suppose you had to please them as well. So that was the challenging side. Yeah, but that would be my Rabbi Muvik, because he would take for years and years and years. He would remember my grandmother told me that her youth she had that it was what they had it was they lived in one she was she lived in a, there was a big courtyard. I saw it myself in Hungary, a big courtyard. It was her together with her family and her siblings, so her parents and her siblings, and they had one area in the courtyard, and her uncle also had, you know, her part in the court. It was a big place, like a big mansion, very big in the court. It was like a few houses together, like a chotzer. It was a chotzer and a few houses around it. And they were all owned by the same family, a few brothers. One brother was my grandmother's father, and a few other brothers around. And they had one melamed who was on site. And he would learn. He would learn every day with the boys, obviously, for all the cousins, and then at times he would learn with her as well, with the girls as well, just to get them the aleph beis and all the skills that they needed to know. So that was the melamed, the family melamed that I heard from my grandmother. Right. Okay. Let's carry on. See if you'd aleph anoida lotzum schum yomim. No, sorry, Sif Yud. Now, Sif Yud Raboisai, I remember clearly, has a different application with a common Shaila, but I'm now forgotten. I tried to remember and I was unsuccessful. Let's see if I can remember where this applies elsewhere with the common Shaila. Hanoida Leilech al Kivet Tzadikim. Shulchan Aruch tells us follows. What happens if a person makes a Neda is going to go to Kivet Tzadikim? He wants to go to Davon in a certain cave of it. Which Tzadik? He wants to go to Bshal Bar Moshe in Kestir. Bshal Bar Moshe in Kestir. Or he wants to go to Enfield to the Shatzah. And he wants to go to the... Who else? He wants to go maybe to... he wants to go to Uman. He's going to one of the holy places. Kibbutz Tzadikim. Shemokom Ploni. So he made the neder. I'm going to go to Kestir. That's it. I'm going to go there. And what happened was when he's Akiv Yom Rabbi, but he got delayed. You know what? COVID hit. He made a neder, he's going to go there. But then he was unable, it just didn't happen. Okay, what happened was, but he made a neder. He made a neder. He made a neder, he's going to go. Afterwards, when things got a bit easier, somebody says, you know what? I beg you, have you got a couple of days? I'll pay you £200. You go to KST and you come back. If you go to, if you have a half a day, I'll pay you £100, you go to Enfield, and you come back, you daven there, and he gets paid to do that very journey. He gets paid, hired, to do that very journey. Can you go once, and you make the money, or no? An eider is an eider. And you can't be yoitzer, your neder, by a paid offer. What are you telling Mr. Berlin? Can you be yoitzer your neder of going to... Exactly, that's it. Does it work or not? Can you kill two birds in one stone, the neder and the pay? The argument against it is, you made a neder, the neder included a certain cost, a certain challenge, a certain difficulty. You're going to travel to this cave of this particular tzaddik. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost effort. Now, it happens to be, can you make a deal out of this? Save yourself the £2. Lucky you. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the same as you are saying, die by alichas, it's sufficient. It's sufficient. It is sufficient. So, as you're suggesting, as you're saying that, yes, it worked. Rabbi said it's not so, I could certainly hear it sad that it doesn't work. You made the neder, so you've got to fulfill your neder.
You can say that it does work because it's delayed. If you made the neder, I'm going to go, and then next day you got an offer, okay, you were going to go anyway, but it was delayed. They pushed him to go the money.
Right.
You could say.
Right.
So that helped. They could say that helps. That helps it.
Yeah, but if you wouldn't have, so now that he gets paid for it, so it's good for him.
It helps him to go.
Yeah, right. Okay, Rabbi Sena, I remember this can be applied in a different area, and I forgot where. Rabbi Sai, it's shining like this. If a person planned to do a certain mitzvah, and then afterwards he gets paid for it anyway, it's fine. He doesn't have to worry about it. Not sure. Let's think this through. That a person plans to
do a business deal not on
Chol HaMoed,
and then unfortunately had whatever,
and then it got delayed. I do remember there was some connection elsewhere, and I don't remember where. So, but Alamai said we can. It's good enough. It's good enough. The fact you're getting paid for it, that itself is, it's good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And see, if you base, we're going to leave Be'ez Hashem for tomorrow because it's really important, and I want to look at the Mishnah here as well. Okay, Rabbi said to summarize what we learned this evening. Baruch Hashem, we spoke about the halacha that a yard site which falls in order, we're always going to, well, we, as you said, that if it's possible to be machmir both things, that's what we do. Alternative, but if it's on a yard, if it was on a simple, on a pshuta, and you're going to keep, it's be'etzem, or the sheni, but we're machmir for both. On your yard site is a day of Yom Misas, and not Yom Kvura. If the yard sale is on Rosh Chodesh or on Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch says you postpone. Ramah says you don't fast. The Mishtabu also mentions Yom Shemez Rabbi Muvak. You should fast as well. Somebody made a neder to go to a certain place, and then after he gets paid for it, then that's he can take the money. That's fine, and it's still Yoytzi's neder. Rabbi, it's time more on these interesting halachos tomorrow.